Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started.
Placed around us, boxing us in, everything from you're born a sinner, child of the devil, total hereditary depravity, to, you know, here's the Bible, the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, rule of faith and practice, exclusivity of that, with no or little, minimal hearing from God, voice of the leading of the Spirit, voice of the Spirit, you know, voice of the Father. Now that, you know, that, that even though gratefully it was salvation by grace through faith, but then you had to perform in order, you had to believe right and act right in order to get your eternal rewards, be in the bride of Christ, all that stuff.
That's right.
Penal substitutionary view of atonement. Looking at everything through a legal lens. And if you don't get it right, then it's hell, eternal conscious torment forever. It's
talking about hearing from God, you know, it's strictly by the book type thing.
Right.
I opened Romans chapter 7. Me and my wife were separated. It was at the very beginning of it, and I was just wondering, what in the world have I done, you know? And I'm at my wit's end, on my face before God, crying out. And I'm like, Lord, you know, if it's your will, this is how I was, if it's your will, Lord, if you're going to, you know, if I was trying to find a direction, because Christy and I were separated, I was either going to go this way or this way. And one of them meant away from her and the other meant towards her. So I'm asking the Lord, if it's your will for us to be together, just give me a word. I reached over the table and opened my Bible, and my eyes fell to Romans 7, verse 3.
Which says, so then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man.
So I took that to mean, as we're married, it's God's design and desire that we be married.
Right.
That we not be separated. And I took that verse, and it was a promise for me. You know, it was 14 months later before we even thought about getting back together. But I went to Brother Don about that, shared him what I shared with you, and I opened the scripture, and that's where my eyes fell. And he was like, well, I wouldn't put much hope in that, son. You know, it wasn't necessarily a word from God, basically.
Right.
Because I was looking for something, saying, God, are you going to fix this kind of thing?
Right.
And that's how he answered. what you see?
No, I'm just thinking about the context there, but the law has dominion over man as long as he lives.
Yeah.
Just back to the fact that we've already died our death in Christ.
That's right.
And we're free from the law.
That's right. But I was just, what?
No, I'm running into that rabbit about judgment.
Yeah.
It's pointing where a man wants to die and after this, the judgment.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I've already died. Yeah. And it's already been judged.
That's right.
And one of these days, you're going to figure that out when we stand before him and he reveals that to you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, anyway, back to hearing from the Father.
No, I was just saying, even then, you know, when I didn't necessarily really know that God would speak to me, this has been 35 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at my wit's end, and my world is upside down. My heart's broken. My life's torn apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ask him.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I hadn't been reading in Romans for my Bible to flop open. You know how sometimes when you stay, like I can open this to Ephesians 1. I can open it. There it is right there, Ephesians 1. Because I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't like I was reading out of Romans anywhere. And it was just laying there, and I just opened my Bible.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. You bring up a good point I hadn't thought about in a long time, James. Through the years, I've heard lots of people talk about they were seeking an answer from the Lord. So they picked up the Bible. Mm-hmm. They opened it up. And right where they opened it, they looked. And there was what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not doubt you or them.
Mm-hmm.
But what gets communicated out of that is you turn this thing into some kind of
magic
eight ball.
Yeah, it's not that.
Where, oh, God, you know.
No, God was having mercy on me. That's all. He was trying to
I think the point you're trying to make, God meets you where you're at.
Yeah.
But he grows us and matures us out of some of that way of doing.
I'm not going to say that's the only time that's happened to me. It may be. It's the only time I remember. But it was definitely a significant time.
Yeah, significant for you. Yeah, at that moment in time. And I have had that happen a time or two. Open it up and there it is.
And then seek some counsel and direction and be advised.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to really put much hope in that.
Mm-hmm.
When it was a word from my Father.
Right. Yeah. I think it was, if I think back to some of my early days of hearing the Lord, and not my childhood days of that, but my early ministry days, when I'd already been conditioned to God doesn't speak anymore. If he speaks, it's in the book. So if he's going to talk to you, it's going to be through the Bible, exclusively, only, limitly, you know. And I want to thank the lady's name was Bertha Smith. I may be wrong on that. She was a Southern Baptist missionary woman in China. And I think it was one of her books I was reading, I think. And she had a little piece on hearing God. And she mentioned that God spoke to her through Scripture. Not just when she's reading it devotionally, but sometimes when she was out ministering to people.
Yeah.
And she gave a few references of stories of when she was out, and God's guiding her by bringing to her remembrance a scripture that we would say is lifted out of context, but it was a directive for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be nothing more than, this is the way, walk ye in it. You know, because it's like, do I go down here? And it's, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah,
but awesome. But somehow in what she said, how she said it, helped me, because, you know, scriptures would come to mind. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Holy Spirit brings them to your remembrance.
Yeah.
But it gave me some confidence of hearing. And I guess to have confidence that I'm hearing is when it was remembering, bringing to my remembrance scripture.
Yeah.
I would have confidence that I'm hearing, if I'd say it that way. Mm-hmm. Not that he wasn't saying other things. I just didn't have confidence.
Yeah.
Because of my upbringing.
Yeah, oftentimes he'll bring a verse to mind about the different things,
Yeah. But then when he says things that are not scripture verses,
do
you have confidence? Or is that just me? Am I imagining? Is that really the Lord?
I say, yeah.
Now, one of the things I will say that helped me with that is when I learned about, some faith promise giving.
Yeah.
That was a number. And I'm kind of oriented to math and numbers, kind of weird way. And I could ask the Lord how much he wants me to give. Mm-hmm. And a number would come to mind. And I learned I could trust the Lord to provide whatever that number was. Mm-hmm. But in that, in learning to hear the number, because after a lot of repeated opportunities of practicing that, in methods of giving, you begin to recognize more of where that voice is coming from. I want to say what it sounds like, but it's just a thought in my head. It's not a...
It's...
Anything past that.
Yeah.
It's a thought, but the thought has a certain energy to it, life-givingness about it. It's a little different.
Yeah, I don't know if I could distinguish it. But I can hear numbers too.
Right. Yeah, you got a lot of practice of that in the paint business.
It's so fun though. Once I learned it.
Yeah. Well, how'd you learn it? Do you remember the first time? Or the first one that stuck out?
I think the very first time was when one of my, I think it was my second or third job after going out on my own, I don't know that was or not, but what happened on that one was I actually bid it, tried to figure the hours, how long it would take me to do it, and I bid it at a certain amount, and it ended up being double that amount what I made. Uh-huh. But that really didn't have nothing to eat. That was just me figuring. But I bid it at $20 an hour and made $40 an hour.
Right.
But that was the Lord enabling me to get it done quicker. But now, I don't know, Larry. There just came a time, I guess. I just probably got tired of walking through the process of trying to figure how long it's going to take.
Yeah.
And I just started asking God to give me a number. Uh-huh. I wouldn't even figure how much pain I would need.
Right.
I just asked for the number and get the number and I always made good money.
And got most of the jobs, didn't you?
Yeah. I hardly ever look at something I didn't get.
Right.
For instance, one time I was painting it was going to be a pergola. This lady called. She wanted me to come look at her pergola to stain it. I didn't get up hardly good from the couch to go, and I had the number.
Mm-hmm.
Went and did it, or bid it, looked at it and bid it, gave him the price, and went and did it, and ended up making about $40 an hour. I was there usually $40 an hour, about where I was on my. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would do more, make more than that, hardly ever less. Mm-hmm. But I just look at that as that's what God was paying me.
Right.
And oftentimes he'd give me a raise, But it wasn't, I don't know. when I first started that.
Okay.
I wish I did. Mm-hmm. It just kind of happened. Kind of weird in a way.
Yeah.
But I guess all the jobs probably that you and I did together was mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So I was already doing that. I mean, well, it was fun. Especially big job like the one we did out at the Brazos. Mm-hmm. They ain't got a clue what it's gonna cost.
Right.
Just get a number.
Because that was a big job.
Yeah. I did another one like that way before that. It wasn't that big of a job, but it was $16,000 or $17,000. The bid, and I was $500 over uh-huh. the other guy, uh-huh. but he gave it to me. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
Well, see, I think, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And he also said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. That's the life we're called to live. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get our life. That's what makes us come alive, is that yeah. conversational relationship.
Yeah.
Well, my understanding of it is that everybody is his child and can hear from their father.
Yeah.
They just don't know how, have no confidence they're hearing. And even when you tell them sometimes, that must be the Lord, I don't know about that. But that's where I think our call to disciple people is to help people recognize the voice of the Father. Yeah. And it's unique to the person. And
yeah, if you can do that, get them to hearing.
Yeah.
That's all you need to
do. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
I need to maybe think about that and just see. I do remember this been years ago when the Lord was, he's still teaching me, but I think I probably talked about it before. I was getting all my stuff together for the day, mm-hmm. going to paint. And I thought, I'm going to get that water nozzle. Mm-hmm. And then I said, I ain't going to need that water nozzle. So I left it. And about noon, I needed the water nozzle.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, that was you, Lord. Mm-hmm. So that's how he's tried to teach me to hear. And a lot of times it's been that way. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking back saying, oh.
Well,
that was you.
Well, I do think that's how you learn, is through your failures sometimes.
Yeah.
But like I said, he's talking, but you ain't listening.
Yeah.
But then you start paying attention to, I'm not listening to the one, something trying to help me here.
Yeah.
And I use the term listening in voice and talking when it's, for me, it's just more thoughts mm-hmm. that enter my mind. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's an image or a picture. I get a, but it's a flash and it's very brief. Mm. It's not anything detailed.
For me, it's usually a thought, or depending on what it is, it might be a desire, mm-hmm. a feeling.
Yeah,
I want to do, and it comes with instructions. You know,
right.
I don't know how to explain that.
Well, you are. I think you're explaining it where people live. And then sometimes it's a feeling. I'm picking up of something. Mm-hmm. And I've learned to stop and, okay, Lord, what is this? Mm-hmm. And what do I want? What do you want me to do with it? Mm-hmm.
That's always a good question. Why are you telling me this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what I need to do.
Well, I think about Jesus said, I saw my Father working and I joined him. Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden you get alerted to the Father's working Now, how you get alerted, you may see something, you may hear something, you may get a feeling, a thought may enter your mind. And then the more I mature, the more I realize to pause and either ask questions, what do I do, or learn to step into that. Because sometimes you see things, the Lord highlights somebody, and you're like, why is that person highlighted? You know, I don't know, but I'm going to go over and introduce myself and see if I can find out why this person is sticking out to me when I look over this crowd. In church circles, that sometimes that highlighting a person is something that we use that language, but it's like, I don't know why that person stands out. You know, some people see lights and colors. I don't see none of that, but people do get highlighted.
I hadn't done that yet.
No, I don't think you do. But the flip side of that is, I'll say this, you're always looking to love everybody you meet.
Yeah.
So everybody's highlighted to you. You just need to get in bigger crowds and you might get a little pickier. But I think that's what makes the spiritual part of you come alive, is when you hear the Father. Mm-hmm. Whether he is just saying, you're my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, or whether he is saying, share my love with this person. Either way. Or
life.
Give $20 to the homeless man.
There's life on it.
There's life on it in all of it. It's just maybe how we value it or how we talk about it, or what maybe gets celebrated in Christian circles might be different.
I'm learning still. If I have a desire to give money, just go with it.
Right.
This Father.
Yes. Well, piece of advice I'd give everybody is immediate obedience. As much as possible. And that's not always possible, and there's some situations where it's not. Or else you talk yourself out of it.
I don't try to analyze it or anything like that, because I'd end up not doing it.
Right. Yeah. And then the more you do it, I don't know if it's the easier it gets, but you're more comfortable at it. And you find ways.
I've realized that our Father has an inexhaustible supply. And you pull on it every time you give.
Yeah.
Especially if you ain't got much to give.
Right.
I don't know how that works, other than it's like siphoning gas out of a tank or something. You go to tugging on it.
Yeah, and then it starts to flow.
Yeah, because
he just keeps coming.
He is not stingy.
No.
By any means. He's just looking for a channel to give through. Not just money, whatever. Love.
Yeah.
Reconciliation, peace, joy, affirmation. It don't matter.
Well, that's the Luke 6:38, given, it'll be given unto you scripture. It's what you give is not quantified. It's just give and it'll be given. It can be money, but it can be friendship, kindness,
love,
mercy, time, all those things.
We need to talk about that next time.
What's that?
Time.
About giving up your time?
No.
Or just the concept time. Of time?
And how that we coming to understand that death has been obliterated.
True.
That we have now everlasting life, eternal life.
Yeah. John 17:3, this is eternal life, to know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life's a relationship. with God, and it's an unending relationship.
See, now we've already died,
right,
and been made alive.
Yeah, so we cannot be separated from Him or His love. Be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. But the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quickens this mortal body.
That's right.
We are life-giving spirits.
That's right. I guess there does come time you just transition.
If you want to.
That's what I was going to say. I think you can do it whenever you want. Mm-hmm. It's not like the reality is we can live. If we choose to live, we can live with God until we choose to shake off this flesh and go be with God. Mm-hmm. That's not good language.
Yeah.
Paul said it. To be absent is to be present.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's more than what we've been told.
Yeah, there's a whole lot more, even in the scriptures, about what's possible.
Yeah. Isaiah 65, so it is the word, the life that's ours,
mm-hmm.
a kingdom life.
Goes back to in our upbringing, it was all about heaven or hell after you died.
Yeah.
And now it's just
suffer through this life.
Yeah, suffer through. Grin and bear it.
Hold out. Endure to the end.
Endure to the end. All just a very limited.
Nobody wants the truth. Just
things are going
to
get worse before the Lord comes. Everything's just. So there was no ever any idea of anything in this current lifetime changing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were taught that all of the promises about those things all got pushed forward into what we were called the millennial reign.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. I hope it helps you find your way to experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life that Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love He has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, FindingOurWay.co.